Did you have an opportunity to view President Mubarak's speech just a few moments ago?
I heard most of it on the radio.
Now, there had been a lot made, of course, about the possibility of him stepping down. Sounds like that did not happen. What was your interpretation of what he was saying regarding his transferring of power to his vice president?
It sounded like Mubarak was saying, I am not going to let my people go. That was not a speech in which somebody let's say it wasn't as advertised. All the media speculation and apparently some, based on some quotes by senior Egyptian officials, this is just not accurate. And the danger here is that the administration is pushing him hard. Now, do we want him to go at some point so the country can be free? Absolutely. Is he an authoritarian dictator? Yes. Has he looted a lot of the Egyptian funds for himself? Yes. Has he? There's a litany of real complaints against him. But he has also, at the same time, been an ally, and all the other allies are watching this. And I think he's rejecting. I think he's resisting pressure from the Obama administration and from others, not just from the president. But so that's a pickle. We need to pray that there is an orderly transition, that he does step down, but he does it. I mean, actually, a few things that he said were important. For example, we cannot allow Egypt to slide into chaos. We can't allow radical Muslims to take over. Stability is important. Democracy is important, but stability is also, and finding a balance between those two is critical right now.
Joel, as you've watched this situation unfold over the last several weeks now, do you think that there's a possibility that if there is an orderly transition, as you say, that the situation for Christians could actually improve in Egypt?
That's an interesting question. Yes. Similar to the collapse of the Soviet Union, and Gorbachev stepping down and, the Stalin era being over, that opened up the Soviet bloc for tremendous freedom and a real surge of the gospel moving there, churches growing, people coming to Christ. So that's one scenario. What's interesting is in Iran, the fact that radical Muslims have been in charge for 32 years, this has been what's been the healthiest for the church. Not easy, don't get me wrong. There's been terrible persecution, terrible evil inflicted on Christians there. But God has used that situation to shake people from a belief that Islam is the answer, and they've gone searching. And many, more than a million, I believe, have come to believe that Jesus Christ is the answer, and they're right. So it's interesting. God can use two different environments, the collapse of a totalitarian system and an emergence of freedom, but he can also use something being much worse. God is sovereign, and we need to pray that the people of Egypt hear the gospel and respond whichever way this goes.
What do you think the situation might be for Israel? What do you see depending on how this thing shakes down?
Well, obviously, uncertainty creates anxiety. And so Israel has an uncertain peace partner right now. In fact, the original Arab country that made peace with them, Egypt, back in 1979, it's just not clear where that country is headed right now. We can all speculate, we can all guess, but the fact is the Israelis are living with the possibility that the first country to make peace with them might now be unraveling as a country, or that whoever takes power next or in the next few months or years will be hostile to Israel. We just don't know. And so, I go back to that point. Uncertainty creates anxiety, except for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, who say, Lord, you're in charge. So we trust you. Daniel chapter 2 says the Lord establishes kings and he removes them. So we can take that to the bank.
Oh, absolutely. And how would you encourage, Joel, Christians in America to be praying at this point?
Well, first and foremost, I would be asking people to pray for the church in Egypt, that they would be bold. You've got these reformers out on the streets, They're very bold. They're not afraid to just say what they think. And the radical Muslims, like the Muslim Brotherhood, they're not afraid to say what they think, like get rid of the peace treaty with Israel and, you know, we need a caliphate, and they're just being clear. I think it's time for the church to be clear, to be bold, to have the confidence that the Holy Spirit is with them. And we know from Isaiah 19, the prophecies about what happens with Egypt in the future, things are actually going to get much worse as we get closer to the return of Christ for Egypt, according to the prophecies of Isaiah 19. But things getting worse economically and politically, the text says. What happens at the end? In the end, many, many Egyptians shake loose all the idols and false religions they're worshiping, and they come to Christ, and they worship the Lord. And it's a dramatic revival by the end of Isaiah 19. So let's be bold. Let's be praying. Let's be helping them in any way we can. The Joshua Fund, the ministry I run, is doing what we can. Many other ministries are doing much more than we are. But we all need to do our part at this critical moment.
Well, and as you mentioned the Joshua Fund, Joel, I did want to mention that you are having the Epicenter Conference again this year. Is that right?
We are. Yes, I think all eyes are on the Epicenter again. Israel and her immediate neighbors will be having this conference in May. And it's sold out now, but epicenterconference.com or joshuafund.net. We'll be doing a webcast of key speeches from that conference, and we'll have more information as we get a little bit closer.
Great. Well, listen, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Glad to do it.